we have a treat now. We have some old friends in the studio, Dave and Amy Freeman, who have, since 2001, traveled over 30,000 miles, it says right here, by kayak, canoe, and dog sled through all kinds of wild places in our hemisphere, from the Amazon to the Arctic. And they were recently named National Geographic's Adventurers of the Year. On Sunday, they're going to be leaving on their Paddle to DC expedition to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act and to also call attention to the potential impact of mining on the wilderness. So they're joining us right now here, sitting across from us in the studio. I have to say, what would you say is the main message of your expedition?
Well, I think our main message is that the Boundary Waters, northeastern Minnesota, this wild place, is so special, so unique. And the Wilderness Act was put in place on September 3rd, 1964, 50 years ago. And we want to see this special place stay protected and stay wild as it is now for the next 50 years.
How are you planning to get that message out as a result of your trip?
Well, we are stopping in communities all along our route. We're doing an event in Ely as a send-off, and then the next one will be right here in Grand Marais, actually. We're going to be right down on the shore of Lake Superior, our favorite lake here, and at Sydney's on September 2nd from 5 to 7. We encourage folks to come on down. We're going to have all sorts of information about celebrating the 50th anniversary of the wilderness and about probably the largest current threat, which is the sulfide mining, which is being proposed here in northeastern Minnesota. But a lot of it's just a celebration, a chance for people to sort of send us off on this journey. We have a signature canoe that people can come and sign, which basically is showing their support for the Boundary Waters and saying this is a special place that should be protected.
It's quite the logistical issue, I would think, to plan a trip like this, because you're spanning, if I got this right, about 3.5 months almost of travel. And you're starting out with a canoe. All right, tell me the route from Ely to Grand Marais.
All right. Well, from Ely, we'll take off on the Kuishui River and head through the Boundary Waters. So we're doing the traditional border route, basically. And we'll make our way down the Grand Portage then and come out at Grand Portage. And from there, we'll load the canoe onto our sailboat and we'll sail down to Grand Marais.
I think I saw you, too, this morning coming in. You brought your sailboat in from the anchorage. Did you transport it up to Portage now?
No, it's at the marina now. We're doing some final preparations for it, getting it ready for the big adventure. And so it's still here.
So what kind of a canoe are you paddling?
We are paddling a Minnesota 3. So it's a Winona canoe, and we picked a Minnesota 3 because it's a really big canoe and it has a third seat, so we can have one or two extra people come and join us. We want people both from here in northern Minnesota and also people along our route to come out and paddle with us, enjoy a day or a week on the waters, an hour, whatever they can spare.
Are you also going to be using your wilderness classroom approach like you've done before, where you blog about this as you're going along and post entries and photos and so on?
We will, yes. So we'll be updating two websites. We'll be updating paddletodc.org for more of a general audience. So that's where I'd encourage people to log on and follow our journey. We'll be posting things on a very regular basis. And then we'll also be posting regularly to the Wilderness Classroom website, wildernessclassroom.org. And so that's really geared towards kids, elementary, middle school kids. So classrooms, families with their kids, we'd encourage them to check that out.
I want to ask you about logistics and setups and the various places you're going to be and how you get there. But why don't you just give us an overview of the route and tell us how you decided on it?
We picked the route partially because we wanted to try and visit communities like all along our route And so, you know, we decided to come down the North Shore so we could stop in communities along the way, stop in Duluth. We're going to be doing an event in Knife River on the 3rd, and we'll be in Duluth on the 5th, 6th, and 7th. And then the South Shore, we'll be going along the South Shore as well, stopping in Ashland and Marquette and Houghton all along the way. And so really, we just wanted to be able to stop in towns and hit both the Great Lakes and the Boundary Waters, because there are sulfide mines that are threatening both watersheds right now, and so we want to travel through both regions. We're going to Ottawa and Montreal. We'll follow the Voyageur route from Georgian Bay up the French River, down the Mattawa and Ottawa River, right to the capital of Canada, to Ottawa and Montreal, and then down through Lake Champlain, so through Burlington, Vermont, and then down the Hudson River to New York City, and then we'll work our way into the Chesapeake Bay and finally to D.C. around December 3rd, about 100 days from when we start.
So you won't be using any of the canals out there in New York State or Canada?
We will be. We'll be taking a canal to get from the beginning of the St. Lawrence Seaway to Lake Champlain. And then there's another canal at the bottom of Lake Champlain that connects to the Hudson River.
Oh, that's right.
And then there's a couple other short canals that we'll be taking between New York City and Washington, D.C. It's sort of a patchwork of
you'll be paddling again at that point, obviously. Once you leave Georgian Bay, you're going to be paddling?
Yes. So we'll paddle for the first, 150 miles through the Boundary Waters to Grand Portage. Then it's about 600 miles of sailing, and then about 1,400 miles of paddling.
And how far upstream on the French River?
It's not very far. It's only maybe 2 days.
And then you have a portage then over somehow to get to the Mattawa?
Yeah. Yeah, it's we actually will portage right through the town of North Bay, I think it's called.
Oh, sure. North Bay, that's on, there's a big lake there, isn't there, that it's?
Yeah, Lake Nipissing.
Yeah, okay. Tell me about, if you know, the mining differences or the mining policy differences between Canada and the United States, if there are any, and does that, because you mentioned that there are mining issues on both sides of the lake.
There are, and there's an intergovernmental panel. Basically, we're in a unique situation because here in northern Minnesota, because we share a border with Ontario, and our lakes and rivers, they don't know boundaries, right? And so they cross back and forth at will. And so there is some collaboration and communication between the governments to look at how they should manage these waters. And that's one of the reasons why we want to go to Ottawa, is because the waters in Lake Superior and the waters in the Boundary Waters are both shared with Canada. And so we want to tell Canadians about this issue as well, because we feel it affects them.
What's the wilderness equivalent, wilderness law equivalent in Canada to our Wilderness Act, if there is one?
I don't know that's a very good question, but we do have a sister wilderness here. We have the Quetico Provincial Park, which has many of the same rules and regulations as the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the logistics of how that was formed, but it's pretty amazing when you think about it. We have over 1 million acres on this side of the border and over 1 million acres on the Canadian side. I mean, it's a massive wild space with no roads, no buildings. You can just dip your cup in the water and drink. And there aren't very many places in the world like that anymore.
And for the most part, no internal combustion engines either, for the most part.
That's right.
Right.
I wanted to know what kind of sailboat you have. One of you guys, Amy, you want to take a shot at that?
Sure. Well, it's a 1974 Ericsson 27. And folks may actually recognize it as Adam and Micah Haru's sailboat that they owned for, 7 years or so before they sold it to us.
Mm-hmm. So how many berths does that have, and how much stuff do you take? Well, you got your canoe lashed to the deck or something? Is that how you're going to bring the canoe along, or are you having it shipped otherwise?
Yeah, we'll strap it right onto the deck. We did a trial run with that the other day, and it just barely fits on there.
And that'll be your dinghy for getting to shore, I suppose, as well.
That's right.
do you have to have any special permissions from any Coast Guard or anything else to do an expedition like this? Maybe you hadn't thought about that.
Uh-oh, can they hear us?
It might.
Well, no, I mean, we have to have the same sort of safety equipment, flares, you know, life jackets, horn, things like that, mm-hmm. that you have to have on all boats. But there aren't any real specific ones.
So how have you made connections for each of these ports, essentially, you're stopping at? Who's setting that up for you?
Well, we've done quite a bit of it. And we also have, we're really lucky to have a woman named Olivia Ridge, who's come in on board as sort of our logistical support person. She'll actually be driving around in a car shadowing us, mm-hmm. and helping with the events. And so basically we just call up and say, hey, we're coming to town about this time. You know, here's what we're doing. Would you be interested in hosting us? And we're partnering with a wide range of folks, you know, the folks at Northland College in Ashland, and we're working with the Bad River Watershed Association, which they're dealing with a large iron ore mine that is being proposed there. So, you know, there are environmental issues all along our route, and so we're trying to partner with people in different locations to talk to them about our region and the joys and triumphs that we have, and also some of the challenges that we're facing.
And we are speaking with Dave and Amy Freeman, who are off to paddle and sail to D.C. To commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act that gave us our BWCAW, and also to call attention to the potential dangers of mining to wilderness areas. Well, let me get back to the event that you're going to have along the way. You've got something planned in each case, or are you distributing literature? What are the events going to be like?
Well, they really vary. The one that we're doing at Sydney's on the 2nd from 5 to 7, that's really going to be a party. I mean, we're going to have some literature and information. You know, we'll be gathering donations if folks want, but we're also just going to have pizza and just have people can come and grab custard and just come and visit and talk and, you know, celebrate the wilderness, celebrate Lake Superior, celebrate this amazing place where we live, and also learn a little bit more about the sulfide mining and some of the challenges that we're facing.
David, that's on September 2nd. What day of the week is that?
It's a Tuesday, so it's the day after Labor Day. So we can all sort of breathe a sigh of relief, yeah. You know? It's like Labor Day weekend.
Tourists are gone. Summer's over. No, summer? Yeah, there was summer for a while here. I hope you guys have decent weather. Now, you got some nice fall, some great country to go through for fall colors all the way across. So I hope you have some great weather. What have you got planned for weather?
Your guess is as good as ours, I think.
You're not going to arrive in D.C. until December, if I recall your calendar correctly. What kind of weather challenges are you expecting on the way?
Well, we've packed lots of warm clothes. And actually, we're planning for the canoeing that we'll be in, like, dry suits by the end of it.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
So we're ready for wind, waves, cold, snow, whatever.
You've experienced that before, have you not?
That's true.
You've also paddled right down the Atlantic coast before. Are you taking a different route this time?
Yes, we are taking a different route. We're not actually going out to the ocean. We'll pretty much be staying inland.
Is it the Intercoastal Waterway, or is it even further inland?
No, even further inland, because the Intercoastal Waterway starts about 60 miles south of New York City. And from New York City, we're going to actually sort of cut over up little streams and down little streams over to the Delaware River, which empties into Chesapeake Bay.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to try to stay away from the open ocean because that time of year, it's not really a place for a canoe.
Right. I mean, you're actually in hurricane season by the time you get. Well, maybe not. I guess that's roughly the last big hurricane they had out there was in the fall.
Yeah, and we were there for Hurricane Sandy.
That's right. That's right.
So we'll try to avoid that if possible.
That's good thinking. Well, are you going to have any kind of an event up in Grand Portage when you come through there, or are you just hopping on the sailboat and sailing off?
You know, we don't have anything set up in Grand Portage at the moment. We're hoping that we can connect with some folks while we're there. We'd love to do some sort of event, but at the moment, we don't have anything set up.
Have you ever done the Grand Portage before?
Yeah, I think this will be my fourth time.
Wow.
This will be my second.
Yeah, that's right. I remember you guys when you came through here. Which trip was that now when you came? You were on your way out to the East Coast, weren't you?
Yeah, that was our North American Odyssey when we sort of crossed North America.
Right. So you know what you're in for. Have you got anything worse than the Grand Portage planned?
It's hard to say.
I mean, what do you anticipate? Do you have some nasty portages out there?
Well, I think there probably will be when we get closer to D.C., sort of between New York and D.C. There's a canal, I believe it's 14 miles long, and there's no non-motorized use allowed, so it's sort of the opposite of the boundary waters.
So do you have to get a little electric motor to put on your canoe or something?
Yeah, that's what we were thinking. So we're going to see if we can get permission from the Army Corps of Engineers, like some sort of special permission to maybe the Coast Guard could sort of escort us through or something. But otherwise, that could be a beast of a portage if we can't get permission.
I would think so. Well, the other thing, I just did a trip up in the Keweenaw kayak trip, and we had a hard time finding places to camp. What in the world are you going to do when you get over, when you leave the Georgian Bay to find camping places, or are you going to camp?
Well, we'll keep camping.
You will.
No. I mean, we'll just sort of find what we can along the way. And it was something we learned during the North American Odyssey. During that final year, we were in really populated places and similar areas. So we're using some information we gained then about, you know, like there actually are campgrounds here and there that we may stay at. But then also with the folks that we meet along the way, it's inevitable that, you know, we talk to people and they say, hey, you can stay in my backyard, and I know someone 20 miles down the shore, so you can stay with them probably too. Give them a call. So it's amazing how things kind of come together.
I would think so. I would think that would be one of the obvious perks of doing a public trip like you're doing, expedition like you're doing, that people are going to know about you coming and are going to find you to give you shelter and maybe a meal. How about food? How are you? What's your plan for on the paddle portions of the trip? What kind of foods are you having?
Well, we'll be resupplying every few days, you know, every three, four, five days probably, because we'll be going through town. So I think it'll be getting cold. So I think our diet will probably be pretty similar to at home. We can, you know, have cheese and dairy products and, you know, things that need to be refrigerated. So that part should be pretty easy.
So other than the first leg of your trip, you're not in wilderness anywhere, are you?
No, we're not. You know, this journey really is about telling a story about how special this place is. You know, northeastern Minnesota is an amazing place. The Boundary Waters is an amazing place. Lake Superior is so special. And Aldo Leopold said that wilderness doesn't need defense. It just needs defenders. And so we're just trying to tell people how special this place is so that it has more defenders, so that it can remain as pristine as it is now, you know, 100 years from now.
How do you see that thinking now among American people as opposed to 20 years ago, let's say? Are they more attuned to wilderness or less?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think in some ways they maybe are more attuned and in some ways less. I mean, it's pretty easy for us to get sort of plugged into our, you know, iPhones and things like that. But I think that when we go out in the wilderness, it changes people. A few weeks ago, I was on a trip with some high school kids from Chicago, and I remember we were just paddling along, and this 14-year-old girl, just not thinking anything of it, she just said, "The air's so clean here." She says, "At home, when I breathe in the air, it's dirty, and here, it's so clean." We don't even think about that, you know? I mean, we just live in this place where we don't have to worry about that. But so many people don't know what it's like to look up and see the Milky Way or be able to drink the water out of a lake or just have that fresh air to breathe. So I think it's important to remind people that these places are out there and encourage them to visit them, because the more we know about wild places, the more we're going to want to protect them for the future.
Well, your sentiments are shared, I'm sure, by most of our listeners, if not all, and all of us appreciate what the two of you have done to raise consciousness of our public to the benefits and values of wilderness and the need to protect it. Keep us posted with your blog. Is there anything else you would like to add to what we've already talked about? You've just made an eloquent statement about what you're doing, but I want to give you an opportunity to say anything more you want.
Well, I guess just one last thing is we hope that folks will be able to come down and celebrate with us when we come to Grand Marais, you know, 5 to 7 on September 2nd at Sydney's. Come down and sign our canoe. And if you can't do that, then you can also sign online. If you go to the paddletodc.org website, you can sign our petition there, and then we'll carry that to DC as well.
And that is paddle to DC, all one word, paddletodc.org, and where you can see a delightful little video of Dave and Amy and the wilderness. You're not going to have your sailboat tied up at Sydney's, I gather, but you'll have your canoe there, I'll bet.
Well, and the sailboat will be nearby. If it's nice weather, it'll be anchored in the East Bay, and if it's not so nice weather, it'll be in the harbor.
Really? Okay. All right. All right. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining us here on the Roadhouse.